Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Essence of the Upanishads. The title is Sutras, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Hunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidavishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Blessed self in all adorations. Commence with the Kathopanishad, Chapter 2, Valli number 5. And mantra number 12. Lord Yama continues to impart spiritual wisdom to Nachiketa. Nachiketa is only 5 years old, but Yama's eyes don't see that age. Age is superficial. Souls have gone through countless births. Even to keeping a track of time, you require some standard time measure. So every soul is ancient. The very fact of allowing time as a unit is based on conditioned mind. Now coming to the verse itself, the mantra. Eko vashi sarvabhutantaratma ekam rupam bahudhaya karoti tamatmastham ye anupashyanti dhira tesham sukham shashvatam nata netaresham. The Divine Self is one. When you say one, it has nothing to do with numerical concept. The mind has always a concept. You think of, describe your dream. Is it described as one or many? One means you are only there and there is nothing to dream about. The whole dream, you are vacant, alone, lonely, miserable. So we speak of one in order to negate many. But human mind is tricky. Even that one, the mind doesn't understand. You are still clinging to a mathematical concept. Therefore, it doesn't give you a theorem. Similes are used to help the mind. Rivers are many. Ocean is one. Patches of blue arise in the sky. They are many. The sky is one. Countless pictures flow over the screen by projections. The screen is one. The deepest level, you are Brahman, the absolute self. That absolute self that transcends mind. In your deep sleep, you alone exist. But when you wake up, you don't term it, I was only one there. Both concepts are one and many. Both are problem-creating. But absolute Advaita, non-dual, again we are using word, is triggering your understanding to where all mathematical concepts are transcended. Closest comes to infinity. Purnamida, Purnamadam, Purnamida. So, Purnat, Purnamudachyate. That's full, this is full. Don't believe it, you're a fool. Put in a crude language, but that's what the scripture says. No matter how difficult your life may seem to be, at the deepest level, nothing is happening. When watching a cinema show, no matter how terrified you are when you see a vampire, the reality is nothing is happening. In your dream, you are terrified by dream situation. Wake up, nothing has happened. As long as you are operating through conditioned mind, and don't have the enlightenment, the result is you view yourself nothing but an individual personality in the midst of countless individuals placed in a mysterious world. This type of vision of multiplicity is due to ignorance, because intellect has not blossomed into intuition. Just like you are dreaming, as long as you have not been awakened, the dream world exists. And while you are dreaming, experiences seem to be as real as it can be. Jo sapne sir kaate koi, binu jaage dukh dur na hui. Someone cuts off your head during the dream, within the dream state. The torture you suffer is in no way different from any torture you suffer in the waking state. But when you wake up, there's immediate relief, nothing happened. That gives you a teaching. Similarly, there is a mystical awakening. If you wake up, you will have as much security and much more as you had when you woke up from the dream world. The deepest level, Sarvabhutantaratma, the indwelling self in all, that is non-dual, absolute, beyond duality and unity. Ekam rupam bahudha yah karoti. When you went to sleep, you were alone. Your consciousness created multiplicity in your dream. In the same way that one absolute consciousness has given rise to multiplicity of things that go to constitute the universe. Time, space, causation, triad, triputi, seer, seen and sight, subject, object and interaction between the two. That's the description of relative consciousness. You are plunged into a world where everything is illusory. Yourself, world around you, and the way you are experiencing the world and creating in your mind a whole storage of memory. To every individual, there is a special type of dream, as it were. Every individual experiences the world in a special way. No two persons have exactly the same experience. And yet, the essential reality in all individuals is one, absolute. Again, giving you a simile. Sun is one, but through. If you look at countless vessels with water, there are countless suns. That one sun has created all those countless shining suns. But at the same time, the reality remains the same. To every bucket, as you look into it, you use imagination. You see the reflected sun in trouble, whisper into its ears that you are not really in trouble. You are that sun. The divine self is one, the controller of all living beings. Think of your dream. Dream moves on. Who is the controller? Your consciousness. Based on the impressions you have created in your unconscious, your consciousness gives rise to a process of dream. And everything is controlled in your dream. Nothing will you experience unless there is a basis in your karma. In the same way, in the waking state, nothing will you experience unless it is a result of your karma. Everything is linked to karma. And you have the role of self-effort and grace of God. As you become a sadhaka, a spiritual aspirant, you begin to discover you have amazing potentiality of a special type of self-effort. Self-effort also can change your circumstances, but you can change your circumstances from one state of ignorance to another. Another type of self-effort, you wake up from one level of ignorance to a level where ignorance is waning gradually. From avidya to vidya, from ignorance to knowledge. This process goes on. Those spiritual aspirants who perceive the self within themselves attain the eternal bliss. The goal is to have a full revelation that I am not the body. I am not an individual soul moving from one body to another. I am Brahman, the absolute self. Nothing else exists. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Brahman alone is real. The world is illusory. Maya. Direct your mind to the simplified version of Vedanta, which always has to be the basis. And that is, Brahman alone is, but he has an illusory power, a magical power known as Prakriti. Prakriti expresses in three ways. Sattva predominating Prakriti is called Maya. Brahman, qualified by Maya, is Ishvara. God, who is further extended into Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, creator, sustainer, and destroyer. He is the controller of the universe. God is the director of the world process that is experienced by every soul. Karmas, how they must operate through every soul in a perfect precision. God is omnipotent, omniscient in that process of knowing the karmas of individual, how they must fructify. And that can't be easily imagined. Even the physical world can't really imagine it. Once upon a time, people thought half of the globe was the only earth that existed. As time passed, people realized everything is wonderful. But the greatest is the sun. As eyes opened a little, they realized there are countless suns, much bigger than the sun you know, and countless world system. Who is taking care of every grain of matter that exists in this immense world? And there is an intelligence that will not ignore even the slightest grain of matter. We'll never think like Brahman has too much to think of. So many things go out of his hand. If that happens, then Brahman is not omnipotent. When we say omnipotent, omniscient, then there is no limit to knowledge and power. So that's Ishvara I'm talking about. Brahman through sattva predominating Prakriti is Ishvara. That Ishvara is abiding in your heart. You can't escape him. Therefore, when you do japa, the question arises, is he listening? That arises through a mind that is dull. It is he who has inspired you to do the japa. And he is promoting the whole process. You deep down, there is a subtle sensitivity. Sometimes you see yourself as his reflection. When you do that, you are in a high level. And still higher level, you are in tune with God. So always you remember Hanuman's relationship. When Rama asks, how are you related to me? Deha buddhya tu daso. To the extent I am body, I am your slave. Jiva buddhya tvadanshaka. To the extent I am soul, I am a ray. You are the sun. So I am a part of you. And no matter how powerful you are, you can't separate yourself from me. The sun, with all its power, cannot separate itself from its reflected, from the reflected sun. It's a simile. And if water has dried up and the reflection is no more, what has happened? The jiva, the individual soul, has disappeared. Brahman alone exists. The sun alone is. So, Atma Buddhya Tavaivaham. From the point of view of the innermost reality, you alone exist. These three insights have to blend in your daily life. In all your activities, you are an instrument in the hands of God. Dasoham. But while doing so, do not give way to unnecessary tension, sorrow. The ray of God is operating through you. You are an ansha of God. You are not a part of matter. So don't look at yourself, what can I do, I'm just a dead stone. You are the shining self. Look at a dewdrop. It's little, useless, insignificant. But look at the gleam shining through it. That has no limit. So every individual is more or like a little dewdrop. But what shines through you, that has no limit. the entire universe becomes a little drop compared to what that light is. That's what we mean by the internal Atman of all living beings. So I was coming back to tell you, Brahman, through sattva predominating prakriti, plays the role of Ishvara, creator, sustainer, destroyer. Brahman, through rajas predominating prakriti, that's known as avidya. Avidya is in countless degrees. And Brahman, through avidya, becomes countless souls. Like the sun becomes countless reflected suns. And Brahman, through tamas predominating prakriti. Generally, people ignore that. We always talk about maya, avidya. But there is another aspect of maya, which is called tamas predominating prakriti. Brahman becomes the entire world of matter. And if you study it, there is a whole sequence. Brahman becomes the tanamatra, subtle elements. Subtle elements that go to compose even the mind, the senses, the pranas, the subtlest form of energy. And then those subtle elements evolve gross elements. Gross elements is what you experience in the world. Your body is made up of gross elements, but your mind and senses made up of subtle elements. And these elements at deepest level, pure awareness, Brahman. So Brahman has become your body. Brahman has become your mind and senses. Brahman has become your soul. Brahman has become the world that is entertaining you. Brahman has become everything. You have to handle that with intelligence. Just like science says, all these are atoms and electrons. You do not bang your head against walls because all these are electrons. Things have to be understood in a practical way. Spiritual aspirants, those who have developed aspiration for self-realization and who have the qualifications which I have explained before, they are able to direct the mind towards God, Brahman. And thus they perceive the presence of Brahman within themselves. The idea, where is God? Every religion awakens in you that understanding. That is, you must move towards God, must seek His grace. And the question is, where is He? The answer here is, as long as the mind turns towards objects of the world, that reality of divine presence is veiled. Your heroism lies in how to withdraw the mind from objects of the world and allow it to turn towards God, Brahman. And that's a serious topic of Vedanta. I will give you just a summary of it. Your mind flows through the senses, assumes the form of the object you are going to perceive. That function is called Vishayakara Vritti. The vritti, thought wave, that has assumed the form of the object. But at this stage, you have no experience. Because thought wave belongs to the world. Matter cannot study matter. But the light that shines in your thought wave, the light of consciousness called Chidabhas, Jiva consciousness in you, that Jiva consciousness shining through that thought wave enables you to perceive objects of the world. Two things are involved. Thought wave should envelop the object, passing through your senses. Secondly, the reflected self in your mind should shed light on that object. The technical term is, every object is veiled by Tula Vidya. Tula Vidya is a special type of ignorance operating in the practical world. So many objects are around you. But what makes you aware of a particular object? Even that is determined by a mysterious process of karma. And because of that karmic process, your mind flows to the object. And having flowed, consciousness shines upon it. This is explained by, suppose in a dark room, you have kept something like an ornament, costly thing, in a box. And the box is there and it contains that ornament. You go into the room, open the box. That's what your vritti does. It opens it. But the light shining behind your vritti, thought wave, the light of your soul, sheds light into the contents of that box. So, if there was an ornament, two things have happened. You open the box and you shed a torchlight, a flashlight, if you don't like the torch. And that's what you are always doing, using two functions to experience this entire universe. Only little difference is there when you are experiencing what happens within your mind. You say, for example, you're angry and your mind notices it and you are experiencing it. And you are happy, you are thinking about resolving a problem. Mind is not going out. But it is undergoing the same Vishaya Chintan in a different way. Vishaya Chintan in an externalized way. That's the practical reality that people go after, all are involved. The Vishaya Chintan in an internalized way, that is different from in each person. Suppose there is a blossoming flower. It's a rose. Everyone goes by, says it's a rose. That Vishaya Chintan, based on everyone, determines this is a rose. But how does a rose trigger your internal experience? One person sees it, says, oh, my mother gave me the rose, or a friend gave me, or the rose was there and my fingers were smashed, rather, thorns enter into it because of it. All those are not there outside. The vritti is not going out. And that's subjective. That's being directly illumined by the reflected self within you. So what is being reflected internally or illumined internally, and whatever is being experienced externally, these are two modes of Vishaya Chintan. Brahma Chintan transcends both. In Brahma Chintan, mind has to realize that there is only one reality, internally and externally. And that's Brahman. Mind does not use ordinary waves. It doesn't use sense channels to experience. Its experience becomes like a lake experiencing the sky. All that it withdraws the waves, allows itself to be still, and the entire sky enters into it. That function of the mind is called intuitional function. That's called Brahmakara Vritti. Brahmakara Vritti now is like entering into, like opening the box. There is dark room and there is a box. Use the same simile. You go and open it. But you don't need to flash your light. The light flashes from inside. So Brahmakara Vritti has to just break the veil of ignorance. The self shines forth. So therefore, shining forth of the self is a revelation. Shining forth of objects is a delusion, a trick of Maya. So this needs to be chewed and chewed again, to be reflected upon. Only when your mind were to go beyond both types of vrittis, outgoing through the senses, ingoing, that's internalized through your worries, anxieties, sattvic thoughts, rajasic thoughts. When it so happens, you have the choice, promote more sattvic. Your internal perceptions should become more and more sattvic. That will trigger a process of intuitional movement. Tulsidas makes it simple. Ram naam mani deep dharu, jih dehari dwar, tulsi antar baharu, jo chahasi ujiyar. Place Rama on your tongue. Your tongue is a threshold. Just like you have a house and there is a threshold, and out of the threshold, the outer world. So between the outer world and the house, there is a threshold. Your tongue is there. Start doing Rama Rama in your tongue. It triggers your mind to see God in all. That's called putting light into the world. The world is dark. Because as bhakti starts, your mind becomes steeped with devotion. Then you begin to see there is a divine purpose behind things. There is God indwelling every person, even though a person may be very crude or rude or good, and that you can reach out and be amazed of the potentiality of divine presence in every heart. And the entire world is nothing but filled with lavalabhara huga, is filled to the brim with the divine presence. If that you are experiencing, that is called ujar. The external world is being full of light. Likewise, your internal world. Look within yourself. Your ego says life has become too difficult now. Be little selfish. Don't go after too many people. Enter into your little shell. Live comfortably. That means ego is leading you to darkness. But if divine name enters your mind, it begins to work upon your ego. Ego becomes more transparent, more humble. Enjoys to have divine qualities. Now you are getting internal light. So things that could have made you worried, anxious, sorrowful. Now since there is light behind, you understand. It's a wonderful thing. God is interested in me. So he is giving me some coaxing. Only the good children receive a good attention. The bad ones are ignored by parents. I'm giving you just quick similes to understand the point. So now, therefore, you are becoming relaxed in a spiritual way with the world outside as well as with your thoughts inside. The goal is to go beyond outside and inside. There is no outside and inside. If you wake up from the dream, as long as you are dreaming, there is both there. You are thinking what's happening. You are looking at a snake behind in front of you. And yes, internally you are afraid. You are remembering how snakes have harmed so many people. There is whole data. You have twofold darkness. Darkness, illusion in the external world. Illusion in the way you are thinking. Wake up, both illusions are knocked off. In the same way, there is twofold illusion. As long as your mind is conditioned, there is an illusion of there is something internal, something external. Each time you are affected by external, you want to rush to the internal. And the internal world doesn't give you much relief. But if devotion and wisdom enters, both worlds begin to light up. The maximum climax of lightening processes is nothing but Brahman. You wake up. The duality breaks. The triad dissolves. In that lies the absolute joy. As long as you have not accomplished it, the misery of the world will pursue you. Nityo nityanam chetanashchetananam eki bahunam yo vidadhati kaman tamatmastham yenupashyanti dhira tesham shanti shashvati netaresham. Continuing to describe the absolute self, which is your soul, essential. You are the eternal among the relative eternals. Always when the mind starts thinking of eternity, brings to its attention certain things, creates a concept. So when we say Brahman has no form, immediately a person says, he's like the sky. Sky has no form. But you are using a form which to your mind means no form. Similarly, you will be happy for eternity. Immediately your mind gives an idea, oh, this will be millions and trillions of years, or at least even 100 years. It's quite an eternity. And the idea, anyone who has done good karma goes to heaven. And their experience of time is totally different. Because time itself is illusion. People don't carry watches up there in heaven. Experience is intense joy in the mind. That also varies depending upon what type of karma they have. Describing that with reference to the time in the world, the scriptures call it eternal. If you are in the Indra's world, it is like immortality. And yet, this is not immortality. People having enjoyed heavenly experiences, they come back because they are not liberated. Brahman is not like these relative eternals. Brahman's eternity is absolute. Brahman is not like conscious principles in the world, the absolute consciousness. Though one, he grants the desires of many. Firstly, to understand, your desires come in two groups. Desire for bhoga. Bhoga means enjoyment. You can add one more point, Aishwarya. People want enjoyment and glory. That's the realm of karma. You go on creating good karmas and that will secure your possibility of having great splendor in your life. Of course, people who study history, they become always dazzled by people, how they were so powerful. Now, that type of being dazzled is extreme folly of the mind, because that doesn't mean anything at all, simply because someone has countless possessions, countless buildings, possessions, ownerships on houses, etc. You have here, you have there, you have in Australia, you have New Zealand, a bunch of lots of papers in your hand. You are so great that every moment cell phone is ringing into your ears, telling you what's happening to your possession in this place, at that place, whom should you fire and whom should you inspire, and so forth. The human mind is saying, oh, what a great thing. When will I have that? That's called bhoga and aishwarya. And God is patient. If that is what you want, like parents are patient with the child. If the child wants only some little toys, the parents have to wait until the child grows. But in the meantime, parents go on giving whatever the child requires. So, by right type of action and effort, you go on acquiring according to your desire, then further realize that let me have some guidance about what should I desire. So, start surrendering to God, and that's a slight cunningness in the mind. Because he can tell you much better things than your desires can lead you. However, if you move that way, it's a positive. Because then your mind gradually understands why to desire. I am the inheritor of God's glory. God is within me. I am that. Let me have enlightenment. Free of the inner darkness, free of the outer darkness. If I have that, that's called moksha. If mind moves that way, then Brahman grants you more. It's from the same source that is granting you fruits of karma. Now, the same source opens for you the highest liberation. So each time we offer prayers to Devi or to Lord Vishnu, we say, the giver of bhoga and moksha. He gives enjoyments as well as release. And if you remember that, then you always also trigger your enjoyment should become a spiraling process towards release. It shouldn't be a straight road. But as you enjoy, you should go higher in your spiritual level. So the worldly enjoyment will taper off and you will become absolute joy. And we conclude with this. Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanau Hunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamas मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति